We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
All right, welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, right here from One Bills Drive in our One Buffalo studio. Sal Capaccio here today, filling in for Murph. Donald Jones with me as well, former Bills wide receiver. And on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh, we have former NFL running back return specialist Brian Mitchell. He joins us today to talk a little bit about his former coach and now current Bills quarterbacks coach, David Culley. Brian, it's Sal, it's Donald. Thank you very much for joining us here today.
Oh, no problem. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thanks a lot. What are you doing these days, man?
I do a little radio and TV here in D.C. and do a lot of motivational speaking and play golf as often as I can.
Play golf. So you're not out at Pebble Beach this week, are you?
Nah, I went to Pebble actually before Super Bowl. I do a tournament out there, athletes, veterans. Every year we do a three-day tournament prior to Super Bowl week. And I flew to Houston and hung out there all week. And I've been recuperating.
Recuperating, you know, from the week, like, huh?
Oh, yes. I like when I was 20-something, I could just do it and keep moving. At 48 years old now, it takes me a little time to get back.
Hey, I mean, I've seen some pictures. You look like you could still play a little bit, Brian. I'm telling you that.
Looks are deceiving.
Hey, Brian, you were a quarterback in college, right? I mean, how did that transition happen from you from quarterback to running back and return specialist?
Well, you know, being that I was only 5'10" and a half, I figured if I went to the NFL, I would have to change positions. And, we ran an offense in college where I did run the ball a lot. I ran the ball in my 4 years well over 700 times for, 47 touchdowns, over 3,000 yards. So I felt the transition to running back wouldn't be that big of a difference. Just learning how to take the ball from the running back, which I handed the ball to guys many a times and seen it. So it was easy for me because as long as I had the football in my hand, I was ready to go.
Brian, we're looking at pictures right now, man. Like, back in the day, y'all really had some old, like, big, huge pads on, man. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The shoulder pads are, like, huge, and the thigh pads,
man,
and everything.
I wore big shoulder pads, man. You know, one thing about me, I wanted to have the biggest shoulder pads I could to protect my shoulders and all. You know, and I think guys today, they wear the smaller shoulder pads and you get a lot of injuries. But I had, like, one shoulder injury early in my career that I designed a little thing where I would put the pads crossways at the front part of my shoulders and the back part to keep the shoulder pads from, like, sitting down on my shoulders, and I never had a shoulder injury again. So we had to wear the big ones. And then, you know, I wore the smallest thigh pads I could. Knee pads, I made those, but I wanted to make sure I protect the shoulders.
So you being a guy that went from quarterback to playing running back, you see it happen so many times when guys are coming out of high school to college or even college into the pros, where they basically force guys to change positions. Is that something that you're okay with? Or are there ever any instances where you're like, man, they shouldn't force that guy to change? He actually can play quarterback.
Well, if the guy – I mean, you look at today, I think they're giving people more opportunities today because I think even a pro game is getting more into the spread offense. So if a guy was very successful at it, like a Russell Wilson, no, he's not over – Russell is probably, 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
He's not 6 feet for sure. Drew Brees is probably 6 feet or 5'11" and 3/4". And I think now in this day and age, they won't force a lot of guys. For me, you know, we ran a more of a running shoot type style offense. We ran the option a lot. My goal was to play in the NFL. I didn't care what position I played, just getting to the NFL. If I wanted to stay a quarterback, could have gone to Canada, was offered a 3-year guaranteed contract. I'm a Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but every time I went to sleep and I dream, I never dream of playing the CFL. I dream of playing the NFL, and I got that opportunity, and I took it.
Well, you were a darn good NFL football player, one of the best all-purpose players to come along, really, over the last 25, 30 years. You had an amazing career with the Redskins and the Eagles. But before that, Southwest Louisiana, which I don't know if our listeners know, that is actually now Louisiana Lafayette, right? They've changed their name. That's who they are, the Raging Cajuns, still that same school.
Yeah. That makes you know when you're old, when the school changes name.
Right, I know, right? But when you were there, David Culley was your quarterback's coach as you played quarterback. He's since went on to the NFL. He coached wide receivers for a long time, and now he's switching back to the quarterback position here in Buffalo. What can you tell us about your former coach, David Culley?
Well, I think he's a very good coach, fair guy. You know, he's going to demand a lot from his quarterback. David played quarterback himself. He and David Lee were both quarterbacks in college at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they went on and he did his thing. And I think he was at Southwest. Then he went to UTEP and then Texas A&M and ended up in Tampa to the Steelers, ended up at the Eagles, Kansas City. Now he's there in Buffalo. And one thing I'll say about him, he made me a much better passer from high school to college. And in high school, I threw the ball. In college, I began to pass it because of the different things he did. And he stays on you. He's a fair coach. He's a good motivator. And I thank him for me being in the NFL and being where I was, because there was a game. I got into an argument with a grad assistant, almost got into a fight the night on Friday night before the game. And he basically told the coach, if he plays, I quit. So that situation right there, where he means business. If he's going to be the quarterback, he said you got to lead by example. You can't be a guy out there doing bad things. And, you know, I got my act right and went on and did some great things. But when you look at him, every position he's ever coached, no matter the level of the talent, he got a lot out of him. So I expect him to do the same thing with the quarterbacks there.
Hey, Brian, what do you think about – we were just debating in the last segment about coaches in the NFL. Now, we all know that Coach Culley played quarterback. He's coached a lot of receiver. But he played quarterback. But
he
do you have a lot
quarterback
of
in college?
He
too.
Coached quarterback in college. Yep. But you have a lot of coaches in the NFL that never played a position and they end up coaching that position. What do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
Well, for me, it's a challenge because you know, players, we're going to challenge a coach. Mm-hmm. And I had a running back coach who never played any college football or pro football, but he always told me, if you do this, you'll have a lot of success. And I'm like, well, how do you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you never did it, you know. I think you don't have to play the position to be a good coach at it, but when you play the position, you get a lot more respect a lot quicker from your players. And when you get that respect a lot quicker, you can get past a lot of the little silly things early. Because I think every coach wants to get respect from his players. Every player wants to give it, but you got to earn it in a sense. And those that didn't play, players are going to challenge them and find out, do they really know what they're talking about, or did they get the job because they're just friends or somebody?
Hey, Brian, Sean McDermott, the new head coach here in Buffalo, he started his coaching career with the Eagles a little bit while you were there. Do you remember him while he was there, an assistant to the head coach, Andy Reid?
Yeah, I remember him because we called him Lil Ring because he had that red hair, and he kind of called him Lil Ring as always with Andy Reid. But Sean learned from one of the best defensive coordinators, I think, in history of the NFL, and Jim Johnson. And you can see the success he had while he was in Philly still. Then he went on with Ron Rivera to the Panthers, and he had some success there too. So Sean was always a hardworking guy, a guy who basically was like a sponge. He absorbed everything he saw. And you can see a lot of Jim in his coaching style. And if he could go up there and be half of Jim Johnson, you all got some good stuff. One thing about both of those guys, you're not going to get any of that Rex Ryan braggadocious type stuff. But they're going to come out there and they're going to want their team to play with passion, play with tenacity, and they expect to get everything that Rex said he would get. But when you boast about it, people want to see it a lot sooner.
You know, I'm looking over your career numbers here. I don't think people realize, Brian, there's only one player in the history of this league with more all-purpose yards than you, and his name happens to be Jerry Rice. And the only reason is he played that extra last year where he got like 400 more yards. Otherwise, you'd be a top everybody who's ever played in the history of this league for all-purpose yards still. And, I mean, you retired, 10, 13 years ago. Is that crazy that you think about that?
Yeah, I think about it because when I started the league, I wanted to play 4 years, make some money, and go start a business, and ended up playing 14. And I never knew about where I was last time. We got to Philly. They would let you know. But, you know, when you go to play football, I think the main thing, you just want to go out and be successful. You want to help your team. You don't think about all the different things you can do, the accolades you may get. But I guess when you play 14 years, they begin to pile up. So, it shocks me still when I see people talking about Jerry Rice, or they show that list. My name is right behind me. It's surreal in a sense.
It's amazing.
Brian, you talk about guys that played a while and have a lot of accolades. Terrell Owens, a guy who played a good amount of years. He's up there in yards, top three, I think, in receiving yards. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, he can't get in the Hall of Fame. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, isn't it? It's about what you do on the football field.
That's right.
I don't think it has anything to do with, a character contest, a popularity contest. I think a lot of the people that are voting, they need to, you know, put their self-serving ways aside and vote based on what he did on the field. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer. You know, the thing that really trips me out when people wait 15, 20, 30 years to get in the Hall of Fame, that you all of a sudden become a Hall of Famer 30 years after leaving the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You didn't do anything else. You didn't change your resume in a sense, but I think he should be in. The fact that Terrell Owens was, you know, maybe didn't talk to the media when they wanted him to talk to him. People trying to say, well, when he went places, he messed it up. Well, I saw him go to Philadelphia, and they went straight to the Super Bowl. I think Donovan McNabb really loved the fact that he was there because he never had a good receiver or a very good receiver until T.O. stepped in the building. So I don't see why he's not there. He should be, and I hope they get it corrected next year instead of saying who else deserves to be there before he gets there.
Brian, you yourself were a finalist this year for the Hall of Fame, and you have numbers among the elites of this game. Someday, hopefully, you'll be enshrined in Canton as well. I mean, is it something you think about a lot? Is it something that discourages you when you don't get that call and feel that you should be?
Well, it doesn't discourage me. I watch Art Monk take forever to get into the Hall of Fame, and when Art Monk retired, he was number one all over the receiving stats, and I knew what he was. I played with him. I knew what he was. I'm watching Joe Jacoby now, who's been out the game for 20 years, who played on arguably the best offensive line in history. They went to four Super Bowls with three quarterbacks, three different running backs. The offensive line was steady, and you mean to tell me only Russ Grimm is a Hall of Fame on that line? Joe Gibbs is in the Hall of Fame. John Riggins is in the Hall of Fame. You got Russ Grimm and Art Monk. I think Joe Jacoby belongs there, too. So, for me, you know, I went out, I did what I was supposed to do. Then I begin to look at the NFL Hall of Fame a lot more when you have a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of running backs, a lot of receivers. Well, when are you going to start? Like, you have kickers, three kickers, Martin Anderson this year, Ray Guy, and Jan Stenerud. Are they the only special teams players that ever in the history of the game did something that qualifies Hall of Fame? You mean to tell me after how many years this game has been around, only three kickers deserve Hall of Fame notoriety? I don't get that.
Well, Brian, I mean, look, you're preaching to the choir here. Remember, Steve Tasker played in Buffalo a long time, and he's arguably the greatest non-return man special teams player to ever play this game, and a lot of people believe that he should be in the Hall. I know it's an uphill fight. He probably won't get there, but we believe that here.
Well, we put three people on him, and he still makes a damn tackle. You know, if you look at Steve, you think you're seeing a lawyer or an accountant, but he gets on the football field, nobody can block him.
Right.
And the thing for me is every coach in every locker room, every game is saying three phases of the game. And then when you go for a Hall of Fame voting, they only vote for a certain position, not the whole team. And I understand I'm not Joe Montana. I'm not Jerry Rice. But guess what? They wasn't me either.
That's right.
Can Joe drop back and return kicks for 14 years at the level I did? I doubt it. You know, Devin Hess is another guy coming along. Should he not be when he gets eligible to be? I just don't understand how they can call it the Pro Football Hall of Fame and they don't represent every position and every position equally.
Right. Now, the biggest question is you have two guys, and we talked to somebody about this a couple of days ago. You have two guys coming up next year that have well-documented off-the-field issues in Ray Lewis and Randy Moss. You think those guys will end up getting in?
I think both of those guys are first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I say. Brett Favre had the issues with the
painkillers.
Painkillers and all that stuff. And I talked to some Hall of Fame voters and some guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and they were instructed to forget about the off-field issues. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they don't forget about the off-field issues with these other two guys, then it's a damn problem with the Hall of Fame altogether.
Yeah, because it's a hypocritical situation with T.O.
True.
Then. I mean, absolutely, no doubt about it, and I agree with you
100%. He did nothing criminal.
Yep.
He may have rubbed some people the wrong way, but he didn't get in trouble. He did nothing criminal. The guy just thought he was the best out there, and sometimes he'll rub me the wrong way by saying, give me the damn ball. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no doubt.
I want that guy on my team.
Hey, Brian, before we let you go, this year was the 25th anniversary of your Super Bowl 26 championship team, and I hate bringing it up because I am on Buffalo Bills radio right now, but man, the Bills were so good that year, but really, you guys, that was a buzzsaw. I think that is one of the more underrated Super Bowl teams that we've seen. I mean, you guys really ran through the league pretty, I kind of think, under the radar, and then maybe it's taken a long time, and I don't know if anybody really appreciates how good that team really was, Brian.
And I still don't understand what's the bias towards Redskins team. Because that team that year, offense, defense, and special teams were all in the top five. You know, we were able to do what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do, against any team. And we played against Buffalo, which was a very good football team, but they pissed off our offensive line. And then the rest is history. I just think that when you look at the things, I mean, Mark Rippon was sacked 9 times that year. 9 times in 16 games.
That's amazing.
You know, we had Ernest Byner and Gerald Riggs had great years. The three receivers did their thing. We had probably more sacks and fumble recoveries than in history in 1 year. Our special teams, we scored at will. We pinned people back. But when people talk about the best ever, they always talk about the teams that had all these Hall of Famers.
Yep.
That are already there. Maybe they should start putting some of these guys in the Hall of Fame and give them the truth.
Yeah, that was a great team. It was part of ruining my childhood. Thank you very much, Brian. Okay, I really want to thank you very much for that. Hey, thanks for coming aboard today.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Thanks for coming aboard. You were a great player and fun to watch.
That was sarcastic. I'm so sorry.
I know. Right, I know. Right? you were awesome to watch. Really enjoyed watching you play, and hopefully you'll be in that Hall of Fame someday. And we really appreciate you joining us today.
All right, man. Thank you all. Yeah, have a good day.
All right. At B Mitch Live CSN. He's doing a lot of good things out there. I'm telling you, that was a – people think like, oh, the Bills, they went to those 4 Super Bowls. We talk about the losses. The Bills were really, really good. And the only team in the league that year that just happened to have that incredible year, the Redskins, were a machine that year. They were amazing. Oh, it still bothers me.
Hey, you would have thought
any other year, you think the way the Bills played that year, but – one team just rose up out of the ashes to be incredible that year.
It happens like that, you know. You would have thought that was that. I thought that was happening this year,
right?
With the Falcons.
That's right. It kind of reminded me of
that. They just
went
to bed. Like, what happened?
You're right. All right, we'll take a time out. We're a little late to the break. We'll come back. We got a lot more on the table for you. Stick on hold if you're on hold. In the meantime, what rule or procedure or anything about the game would you change? Whether that's how the league is set up, some of the things they're doing, replay wise, playoff wise, rules wise, penalty wise, challenge, anything. It's on the table today on the John Murphy Show.